Today we are celebrating the Feast of Christ the King. It is the last Sunday of Pentecost. And because we're celebrating the King, we're decked out in white today. Next week, we begin a season of preparation called Advent. And in Advent, which is a penitential season, we will deck out the church in purple. And it's sort of like we have to put the church, put Advent on hold for a week, because the second week of Advent is going to be confirmation service, and so the church will be in red in honor of our confirmands and the blessing in our affirmands. It's going to be quite a time. Well, what is Advent? We prepare two things. We prepare to remember the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we also need to be ready for his coming again. Remember, Jesus said, "No one knows the hour or the day but the Father." Our gospel reading today is the account of the trial of Jesus before Pontius Pilate. Pilate knows what he's heard about Jesus from others, but he has to ask Jesus himself. And so he comes right out with it. "Are you the King of the Jews?" He sees before him a simple man who comes from the wrong part of Israel. People would say, "What good ever came from Nazareth?" Well, this is a man with a small band of followers, and they've all run away. He thinks this cannot be a king, but again, maybe he is, or maybe he's an imposter. He thinks it would be better to ask him and find out. After being questioned by Pilate, Jesus tells him why he was born. So Pilate says to Jesus, "Oh, you are a king then." And Jesus answered, "You're right in saying that I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of the truth listens to me." Well, Jesus came to testify to the truth and to set the world back on track, saving the world from the penalty that comes with sin, which is eternal death. He would be the one to pay the debt that no one else could pay. And that's why we celebrate today. That's why we begin to prepare for the remembrance of his birth. And that's why we celebrate at the altar. And we're mindful of his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and his promise to come again. Jesus is Christ the King, which literally means he is Messiah the King, the one who paid our price and died in our place. He was born once so that we might live. He was sacrificed once so that we might live. In today's Old Testament reading from the prophet Daniel, from Daniel chapter 7, we heard a prophecy about a Son of Man coming before the Ancient of Days, Almighty God, with authority, glory, and power. He was worshipped by all peoples, nations, and men of every language. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. This was the vision of the Alpha and the Omega, in Greek, the first and last, as referenced in our reading from the book of Revelation. God gave Daniel a vision, a majestic vision of Jesus, the Son of God, in the kingdom that he referred to in his statement to Pilate. He said, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." That's John 18:36. Now, if Pilate only knew who he was talking to, his decisions might have been quite different. There would have been no exchange for Barabbas. But Jesus had to go to the cross. In order to fulfill his mission, he had to go to the cross in order to set us free. We're getting ready to be plunging into the season of preparation for, as they sing, the most wonderful time of the year. Aren't you glad I can't sing right now? Thanksgiving is traditionally the start of that season. You know, you'll watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. It used to be filled with Christmas songs. Well, now there's hardly any until Santa comes at the end of the parade. Well, their perspective is a little different. It's all about sales. But our perspective is, yes, we're getting there. We're getting ready to the time to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And people will be putting up decorations, lights, the angels, the wise men. And it's exciting and it's fun. But not everyone loves what this all represents. Because this is only the beginning of the story. The truth is that in order for salvation to come, we need to look past Christmas and fast forward. There's got to be a Good Friday. There's got to be a scourging on that day. There's got to be a crown of thorns put upon our King. There has to be three nails, and there has to be a cross. Some people have a rough time accepting a Savior who convicts us as sinners, asking us to repent and be transformed by his love. There's some people who only hear what Jesus said in Luke 23:34, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." They may think that Jesus was letting the world off the hook, but instead, Jesus was asking for forgiveness in order to give us the opportunity to make the choice for ourselves. Which way to live? In sin, separated from Almighty God, or forgiven, washed clean by his blood and the sacrifice that he made, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. He asked for forgiveness so that we might live. He gives everything for us, his people. Now that's a gift. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verses 15 to 20, reminds us that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross. Now, just a couple of weeks ago, Deacon Bob preached about the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Well, that's the position he's supposed to take in our lives. It's not just saying he's one God. It's saying God should be number one. He should be the one that we think about all the time, we pray to all the time, and we thank all the time. Well, let us get prepared for the celebration that is to come. Because the King is coming. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.